Please welcome back Director Florian Opitz. Well, congratulations. It was a very powerful film. Before I open the questions up to the audience, I'm going to ask a question. You mentioned that it took you 4 years to make the film, and I'm just wondering how, from that first idea of what you were going to do, how it evolved over those 4 years. I imagine that a great deal of it was research.
Right. We started out from the idea that in Germany in 2003 there was some talk about privatization, and basically when it was depicted in the media, it was always like they always sang the song about how privatization makes everything more effective and more competition, and you know all that. And I just knew of some cases where that was not the case. So I tried to do more research in the media, in the mainstream media, and I have access to a big print newspaper archive in the public TV station in Cologne, and I barely found any article on what privatization does on people. It was just like, oh, the German telecom is sold, you can own stocks, and you can buy stocks here and buy stocks there, and everything would be great. And so I tried to find, I really tried hard to find something in the normal media. I didn't find them, which made me more suspicious, and I thought, why is that? And I was talking to universities, institutions, and I got this idea. I wanted to make a film about, you know, the privatization of basic public services, but I wanted to make it, you know, tell the story through the stories of people who are affected, not Western NGO people who say why it's bad. I wanted to see that why it could be bad and how it is if you declinate that through the end. So. I then targeted institutions like the United Nations, universities, the World Bank itself, and trade unions, and asked for if they have any research material on that. And there were some case studies, and after a month I found some case studies, and I put all of them together, and I looked for case studies where also there potential for conflict. Basically, but you found that in all case studies you could find, but it was just some were better to depict than others, and that's how we found it. And from then we went through NGOs in the countries who were generally depicting the subject, economic subjects and subjects of globalization, to smaller NGOs, to people who are working on the ground with the people in the slums, and that's when we had to go. We went over and spent some time there to find our characters. Sorry for being long.
It's kind of a big question. Questions from the audience? Yes.
Hi. Can you just update on that young boy, Jinka?
I'm going to repeat the question. Can you give him an update on Jinka? Jinky?
Yes, we are in close connection with all the protagonists that are still living, I have to say. Jinky's, the situation didn't change very much. We always try to send some money there to make the life of Minda and her family a little better. So he is waiting for a transplantation, which costs around, I think, 10 or 15,000 Canadian dollars. And we hope to raise some of the money, or maybe all the money, when we have the German release in 2 or 3 weeks. So I always try to collect some money. And there is a priest living directly on the other side of the street from Jinky, and he's the one who through which we came into contact with the family. And he, he takes the money and gives it to the family, or saves it, puts it to the bank account until they have enough money to pay for the dialysis or the transplantation. So if any one of you would like to give something, I can write a receipt or something that gives you tax refunds or something, but you're welcome to do so.
Yes.
Was that IMF video, was it real? Or
was it was the IMF video real or a joke?
Yeah, the IMF, that was a story by its own. That is real, this video, and this is basically the only thing we got from them, and that's just only because they forgot about me. So the story was a very long one. I started out making the film thinking it would be interesting to have the people who are affected by privatization on the one side, and at the same amount of interview length or something, people who are in favor of privatization and who, you know, are the advocates. And it turned out that there wouldn't be very many advocates who wanted to speak to us and wouldn't want to or would admit that they like the idea of privatization, even if they push it through their institutions. So we had interviews with the IMF and the World Bank. We had a written agreement, and we went there to Washington, D.C., and shot the week before we shot with Mr. Stiglitz. And suddenly I got a call from the press officer of the World Bank, and she said, there's some problem at the IMF. They made some research on you. And I said, what does that mean? Yeah, they don't want to do the interview because they think you're, and I'm quoting, you're a dangerous person. And I was, why have nothing in my files? And I didn't understand. And I asked her, how did they make the research? What did they find? I was just curious. And she said, they Googled. So I Googled myself. I saw a piece I made for public TV in Germany, very, not extremely political, on the anti-globalization movement, but it was just nothing special, nothing radical at all. Actually, a pretty boring piece from a perspective. Now, but I think there were the keywords in the description on the website of the public TV. So they refused to talk to me. I tried to argue with them, with the IMF, and they sticked with their opinion. Even if the IMF is, you have to know, it's a public institution. All the countries have governors in the IMF, so they are somehow responsible and should tell the public what they do. But they say they prefer to talk to news media because they can feed them with the nice little news pieces they have on their website. So that was the IMF, so they wouldn't want to talk to me. And the World Bank, it was another story. We had four interviews because we really wanted to give them space to, you know, because I was so naive to think they would give us their position. And so they reduced that to one interview. Okay, we had one shooting day in the World Bank and another day with the interviews. So this melted from day to day. So then in the end, we had one interview and an hour we could shoot there inside. And when we were inside, we just went in through the security, which is nearly the security of an airport or something like that. This press lady came to us and said, you take the time, no problem, you can shoot whatever you want. We went to the toilet just before we started, and then she came again and said, are you finished? And I was, why finished? We haven't even started. Yeah, you have to pack your bag and go out again. My boss said, you're not allowed to shoot here. And I think that was why, that's because there was a Christmas party going on at the same day, and there were all kinds of pop stars playing there, and they were eating their turkey there, the members of the World Bank, the employees there, and I think they thought it might have made a bad picture, you know, them eating, celebrating in front of the pictures of starving kids or something like that. So, but we didn't want to depict on that really. I just wanted to talk to them, and we could come back for this one. So she basically said, if you're not stopping to discuss with me, I get the security and have you thrown out? And I kept discussing, so she got the security and we were thrown out. And in the afternoon we had another interview, and they made all kinds of things so that this interview would also melt down to like 10 or 15 minutes, because they put it in a room where directly next to the stage. It's very hard to do an interview when there is a stage with a rapper on the other side of the wall. So they did all kinds of stuff, so we had like 15 minutes, and what you saw is basically all we got from the World Bank. So it was very hard to talk to them. I think they have to hide something. I don't know what, but...
way in the back there?
Is it possible to donate on your website?
Is it possible to... Is it possible to make a donation on your website?
Yeah, we have a German website, and it will be soon possible to donate there on the website. So, as I'm on festival traveling at the moment, very much, I'm not sure how they arrange that there, but we will have an account, and that will be managed, and you can just say to whom you want to give the money of a certain person of the film or an organization who helps and the people in the certain country. So it will be possible soon. So there's a link to the German website on the English website, thebigsellout.org. So if you need to speak a little bit German then. or just write an email to the distributor or to me and we can take care of that.
I'm afraid we only have time for one last question, and there's a gentleman way in the back there.
At what point did you get Stieglitz, and what role did he play in your process of unraveling all of this stuff around the world?
So the question is, at what point did you get Stieglitz, and what kind of role did he have in unraveling all this information?
We got him on board kind of early, but it was not very easy at the first place. His wife, which is his press officer at the same time, she protects him from being interviewed and everything. So I had to be a little bit of a pain in the ass for them until they were interested to take part. But and in the research, he didn't play any role. Actually, he's not the expert on privatization. He's more like has a general view on globalization subjects, which only one is privatization. So the field research we did alone, and he didn't play a role there.
Well, thank you very much, Florian, for being here.
Thank you. Thank you to Rafa for inviting me, and thank you for being such a very good... Yeah, right, that's what I wanted to show. Thank you.
Audience ballot.